Suavate discipuli and suavate omnes. Welcome again to another episode of Latin in Layman's, where I'm going to be doing another classical myth, of which it's going to be Orpheus and Eurydice, one of the very beautiful myths I think is bittersweet and shows a deep, profound sense of love between two people. Yeah, I remember the first time I read this, I actually read it through the poetry of Virgil. And yeah, Ovid also has written upon it and other Roman authors, as well as just authors in general have. I try to do my own rendition here and I try to make it poetic. You guys let me know if it sounds a little too fluffed up. I can definitely not do it like this again, but I thought that I would try and entertain maybe a little bit more of some highfalutin vocabulary, eloquence, poetry. I do like to write. I'm a big writer. I haven't been able to write very much because of my job now and just the schedule that I have on a day-to-day, but whenever I can, I love to entertain that. So, I don't know. If you're curious, I'd love to have you stick with me. Because it really is a beautiful story. I have yet to decide whether I'll really talk about moral implications. Because I feel like they're all very profoundly seen as you kind of read through the story. But maybe not. Of which case, I will. But I'll think about it as we read. So, again, just like before, sit back, relax, get some tea, get some coffee, whatever you want. Pop some popcorn. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what time it is. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, so crack open a beer if you want. Have yourself a little nice glass of wine. That is if you're of age. And let's get into our story. Because in the hallowed annals of Grecian myth, a tale unfolds like this haunting melody resonating through the corridors of time, an eternal aria that weaves the delicate strands of love and loss and ineffable power of music. I love music. At the heart of this narrative is the ethereal union between Orpheus, a virtuoso of the lyre whose strings bespoke divine harmony, and Eurydice, a nymph whose radiance rivaled the luminescence of the heavens. In the verdant meadows of Thessaly, where Zephyrs whispered secrets through the rustling leaves, Orpheus and Eurydice, enraptured by the symphony of their affection, pledged vows that resonated like celestial notes in the grand opus of their existence. Their love was a garden of rare blossoms, each petal infused with the fragrance of immortal passion, and their days were as idyllic as an inscribed sonnet upon the parchment of time. Yet, as fate, that capricious muse would have it, shadows cast their ephemeral gloom upon its idyllic nature. Eurydice, frolicking in the sylvan glades, became ensnared in the coils of an untimely demise. A serpent's venomous kiss stealing her from the terrestrial realm. Orpheus, bereft of the light that danced in her eyes, felt this world crumble like a lyre string severed by an unseen hand. Yet in the crucible of sorrow, a tempest of resolve stirred within the heart of Orpheus. Armed with the lyre bestowed upon him by Apollo, whose heavenly strains could charm the very cosmos, he embarked upon a pilgrimage to the somber realms of Hades, a journey where even the boldest mortals dared not tread. The Stygian waters whispered their ominous counsel. Yet Orpheus pressed on, guided solely by the resolute melody of his undying devotion. As the gates of Hades swung ajar, Orpheus, with lyre in hand, addressed the Lord and the Lady of the Underworld. His music, a celestial lament that traversed the chasms of despair, moved even the hearts of the Stoic gods. Hades, with a visage, stern as granite, granted Orpheus an audience. Moved by the pathos woven into the very fabric of his verses. With dulcet strains that plucked at the soul's most profound chords, Orpheus implored Hades and Persephone to release Eurydice from the shadowy abyss. His melody, a poignant plea that reverberated through the vaults of Tartarus, touched the very essence of existence. Even the Furies, with their feral countenances, were momentarily stilled by the harmonic sorcery that encapsulated the Chamber of Judgment. And so, the gods relented, offering a celestial reprieve, but with a caveated cast. Caveat coming from the Latin caveat, remember, let it be warned. The caveat being, Orpheus, granted the chance to reclaim his beloved, was admonished not to gaze upon her until they ascend to the luminous embrace of the upper world. As the ascent commenced, each step carried the weight of a cosmic symphony. Yet, as the veil between worlds grew thinner, doubt, like a shadow, clouded Orpheus's resolve. The strains of uncertainty whispered through his mind, and, in a moment of trepidation, he glanced back, longing to behold the radiant countenance of Eurydice. Alas, the gaze that met his was not one of living grace, but of ephemeral farewell. Eurydice, snatched once more by the cold fingers of the underworld, vanished like the notes of a fleeting refrain. The lyre, once aglow with the promise of reunion, now resounded with the echoes of loss. Orpheus, condemned to the mournful solitude of his own melody, wandered the mortal realm like a wraith, his songs bearing witness to the eternal ache of a love thwarted by the inexorable dictates of destiny. The gods, moved by the tragic cadence of his existence, elevated him to the astral tapestry, transforming Orpheus into a constellation that still graces the nocturnal canvas. A testament to a love that transcended the boundaries of mortality, echoing through the cosmos in an eternal sonnet of longing and lament. And that's the myth of Orpheus and Eurydice. Truly beautiful, I think. Truly bittersweet. Truly sad at the end. If only he didn't look back. But then you don't know. What if Hades was lying to him? How could you trust Hades? Or maybe he was too excited to just look back and see the person that he loved, that he had fought so hard for, to finally get back again, going down into the depths of the underworld to encounter the two most really, like, vile people. Well, not Persephone. She was just taken away. But Hades, man. Yo, even though he's the brother of Poseidon and Zeus, he ain't that great of a guy. I don't know what the moral implication is, really. I mean, do you? Is it patience? Is it that understanding of you have to just kind of... Because it reminds me of the story in the Bible, and I think that it's of Sodom and Gomorrah, where they're leaving Sodom and Gomorrah, and God says, don't look back or you're going to regret it. And I forget the story itself, but I do remember that one person, whom I forget the name of, looks back and they're thrown into dust, essentially, because they couldn't help themselves. Maybe it goes to show that human nature, there's that aspect of even though you know what you need to do, there's still that added voice that tries to tell you something a little different. Just look, just peek. Curiosity. Pandora's box. I don't know. You guys, let me know if you enjoyed this or if this was a little too poetic for us for today and that I skippity-bopped a little too much with my diction. But with all that being said, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I do love love, and I always will. I've embraced the fact that I am a hopeless romantic with having not embraced it for so long in my life. And or refusing it. But now I know. I'm a big old softy. And my middle school students have helped me realize that as well. But with all that being said, maybe text that person that you know you love them. They know you love you. They know you love them, but maybe you haven't said it in a while and it's just a good reminder to let them know. Maybe you're thinking about somebody. Maybe there's somebody that's sitting next to you or maybe in the other room that you love deeply and profoundly. And let them know. Let them know that you see them. And with that, I'm going to leave it there. I hope you guys have a wonderful day. Tempus est, scelerae.